rejoicing. Sisters, clap your hands. Just on the horizon waits the promised land. Start the celebrating. No more need for tears. Let's be looking for him when Jesus reappears. Gabriel's gonna blow that trumpet. Loud enough to wake the dead. The horn will cry. No power will stop it. Loud enough to wake the dead. Saints will rise up when they hear it. Sound will creep both flesh and spirit. Loud enough to wake the dead. Loud enough to wake the dead. Ain't no grave.
Praise God for our choir. Praise the Lord for our church family. All these gifts. Today we have a special presentation that I'm excited to hear from our young people. Ooh. And so I've been hearing some awesome things about that. So before we get started with the announcements, I just wanted to say thank you to our dear brother Paul Ebersberger. Could you just stand up for me, friend? Because I don't know if too many people know who you are, right? Yeah, there you go. Uh-huh, and his wife, Rose, super cool. He shared for our halftime. He was presenting slam dunk gospel presentations, okay? And that was really awesome to be able to have him come and to present in that way. Mike Kaler also stepped in for one of the sessions as well. And so praise God for him. He's been greeting, as you've probably been seeing him do. And then Pastor Thaddeus also gave some presentations as well. But I just want you guys to know that I'm really thankful for Paul. He was going around. He was having some serious discussions with people. And God used him and was stirring hearts. So that was very cool. Very cool. So continue. Please be praying about that time, the halftime periods for our Upwards basketball program. That is an outreach period where we have families from all over Kalamazoo and the surrounding communities coming to this building for basketball, but we want to give them something way more important than throwing rubber through a metal ring, right? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So as you're finding your seat, I just want to remind you that today we're having communion. And so start talking to the Lord and getting your hearts prepared for that, okay? Great. For announcements, just wanted to remind you, we need volunteers for our Upward closing ceremony. God's been doing awesome things in that program. Thank you to all our volunteers. And so we're going to be having the closing ceremony on March 24th at 5 p.m. I'm going to be asking the volunteers to arrive at 4:30 p.m. I'd like to move through this quickly because we have the presentation from our young people. And so just read that information there. I didn't see a sign-up sheet back there, so I'm just going to make sure we have one before the end of the day. Oh, there is now? Okay, good. So we have a sign-up sheet. Please, we can use you, okay? Doesn't matter if you don't think you have any gifts or abilities, but we can use you. So give me a call or write your name down, and we can start planning together, okay? All right. Mark your calendars. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, anyways, we'll skip that one. You can read that one. Mark your calendars on March 31st. That is so cool. Mm. Oh, but it's got some other information, too, that's important. Sorry about that. I saw my name, and I was like, let's move past that. But on March 31st, Pastor Carl will be at the pulpit preaching. Okay? But more importantly, this is really cool. More importantly, April 7th, Pastor Scott from Galilee Baptist Church will be preaching the morning service at 12th Street. Okay? Pray for the Stout family while they are away on a mission trip, all right? I've heard awesome things about Pastor Scott, so be sure to welcome him warmly on that day, all right? Great. Easter 2019, an Easter hunt is in the works, April 20th at 3 p.m. with 8,000 eggs. Wow. Is that a typing error? Okay, it's not. We are hoping to reach lots of kids this year. Donations for prizes and candy, 150 bags, wow, is appreciated and will be collected during the next few weeks. We are also asking that you spread the word. This is a great way to share the gospel. If you would like to help, please see Chad Kilburn or Krista Asher. Sign up sheets to help volunteer for setup, cleanup, and or stuffed eggs is in the Welcome Center. We're going to need some people for that. Detroit Tigers home plate, June 8th. This event includes several athletes speaking about their careers in sports and their faith in Jesus Christ. And so read some more about that there. And LSE annual mother, daughter, and friends tea, May 4th. We're still looking for hostesses for those tables, okay? Please see Sister Cheryl for information there. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Ladies Bible study resumes this Tuesday, March 5th, okay, from 1 to 2:30 p.m. in the Welcome Center, and they're going to be continuing the 52 Women of the Bible study. Committees information, you can read that. Young adult group, Sundays, 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. with Jim and Amanda Dieters. The information's there. Wednesday dinner, goulash, salad, cornbread, and dessert, okay? Don't forget to sign up for that. Men's basketball, you know where to find us. Men's prayer breakfast. Are we still meeting at the church for this Tuesday? Man, please come. That was a rocking time. I like the church better than McDonald's, but anyways. All right. I think that's good. So why don't we pray, okay? We're not going to do any greeting today because we want to hear from the young people. So, Father God, thank you for our time together as a group. God, there's some awesome opportunities to be salty Christians. We need help in reaching the lost. And God, oh, man, that should break our hearts. People that this day are blinded by what your word calls the god of this age, Satan, whose reign will end, who is lying to the people. And they lie to themselves, God, seeking pleasure and disobedience from you. God, they're led astray. So use us to reach those lost people and stir our hearts to have a compassion for one another and a love for one another, to serve alongside one another, for no higher calling than this, to be used of you, for you to be glorified in our lives as we reach people in this dark and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray with confidence and reverent expectation. Amen. All right, at this time I want to invite Brendan and Shelby and the young folk, the young people.
Test. Everybody hear me? We had a couple. All right. God is good. Amen. All right. My name is Brendan. I'm one of the youth leaders. We had the privilege last weekend. Hopefully you noticed we were gone. Maybe not, but we were not here because we were at camp. And that was such an awesome time. It's a couple hours north of here called Grace Adventures. We were there Friday night through Sunday morning. And we took not quite all the youth group. They couldn't all quite make it, but I think everyone up here, yeah, went. So we've got some props, and we've got some people that are going to share some testimonies about how the Holy Spirit worked in all of our lives up there, honestly. But we're just going to hear from a couple of them. So who would like to go first? Ari's going to go first.
Yeah. So, hi everybody. My name is Ariana Ballard, and I'm actually a senior this year, which means this was my final winter blast. I'm actually up here to share my experience with you, but before I do that, I need to tell you a little bit about me. I consider myself a pretty confident person, but I constantly deal with the what-ifs of life. I live with my grandparents and have since the fifth grade. I haven't seen my mother in 6 years and just started seeing my dad after a year-long battle court. Actually, my siblings and I haven't seen them in about 2 months since December. So, yeah. Getting back to winter camp, though, heading into the weekend, I felt like a wishy-washy type Christian. That's a really bad place to be spiritually, but that's where I was. That all changed Saturday night, starting with the worship. I don't remember the first song, but all I know is that I started tearing up right away. We get done with that, and I'm, like, trying to wipe away the single tears, and, like, my sister gives me this really weird look, like, what's going on, Ari? I was like, it's okay. We get to the second song, which is Reckless Love by Corey Asbury, and I just start crying. In the song, it talks about how God leaves the other 99 to find the one. And it was really funny because Kayla and I, we were talking about how Toy Story 4, Lil Bo Peep, she still has the hook, and PETA was like, no, that shouldn't be there now. But I found that really funny because God kind of had to rope me in again, just like Lil Bo Peep still has to do that. And then the last song, I couldn't even sing it. I was sobbing. I just felt God's presence just wash over me. And so we get done with worship, and then the speaker, Garrett, he comes up to speak. And basically what he's saying is that you need to let go of whatever you're feeling. You need to build up your spiritual kingdom instead of your earthly kingdom. And then he had an altar call. I was sobbing by then because of everything that was just happening in the room. Like, it was just a blanket experience. I got forward and, like, I just fell on my face. I was like, God, I know I need to give all this stuff up. And I've been listening to the lies that the world has been telling me. I heard that, I am a mistake. My parents don't want me. My parents don't love me. I will never be enough, and I will be just like my mom. But then, after the altar call, I heard, you aren't a mistake.
Amen.
I want you.
That's right.
I love you. You are enough. You'll be way better than your mom.
Amen.
So, to finish, I'm going to read my journal entry that I wrote coming back to the cabin after dodgeball, which we lost, but it was because we were up against adults. Not fair. But so I said, service tonight was the best thing I've ever experienced. I truly felt God's presence. I gave God the list of lies I've listened to, given my doubts and my worries. Kayla and I have never been closer than that moment at the altar call. I've loved this weekend from the moment I entered the church on Friday to now. I'm so grateful I got to come and fully experience God's love for me. I really like what Leah said during small group time. I'm going to try to love God as much as he loves me. I hope that I will try to live like that. What an amazing God-filled day.
Amen.
All right, it's my turn. I got this, okay? Jeez. So, I'm Nathan. I have a loving family, the Thompson family. What? Let's go. So I walked into camp, just really, really struggling. You know, I've been, high school, just classes, grades, drama that everyone wants to get you into, and just having that indulgence in that, being like rolling with everyone else. And so walking into camp, it was a really good time. And we could definitely feel that something miraculous was going to happen at some point in that week. Something was going to change. He was going to do something. It was going to change all of us in the most crazy way that you can't even begin to describe. And I think we could all agree that one of the highlights was that Saturday night altar call. All the youth groups there, all the leaders there, just at the altar, you know, having him connect us all, not just as a community, but as spiritual leaders, as guiders for, you know, the flesh, being able to help people who don't know him as well as we can. So him being able to put that on us, to be able to, you know, speak to us and tell us, you know, go out and do my will and do what I envision for you and just be that light for me. I think we could all agree that that was something that we could all feel at that time. And coming back after that, I think all of our lives were changed after that point, especially for me. I could definitely just feel that he was just like, you know, you're in a place right now that I know is a struggle, but it will get better. He, you know, just telling me that, you know, I will be with you. Don't forget about it. And just keep, you know, giving your worries, your problems, just anything you're struggling with, just give them to him, and he will deal with them because he knows what's best for us and knows exactly what needs to be done in order to help us. So that was just the week for me, and just being able to see how he works through all of us in the most miraculous way that we can.
Hi, my name is Kayla. I am also a senior, so this is my last Winter Blast. I'm like one of the four seniors in your group. So I've been to a lot of Winter Blasts, and none of them were quite as life-changing as this one. And I'm already going to start crying. So the week before camp started, just my life just felt off, like something wasn't right. And I didn't know this, but my youth leaders were actually praying for all the kids up here that God would be preparing us for camp. And I didn't know that God's preparing me was convicting me. I have a lot of strongholds in my life. You see these buckets up here. This is what the speaker kind of illustrated. We've got, like, the flesh and our feelings and Satan's power, like the kingdom of darkness, and then God's kingdom in our lives, like the scripture, the Holy Spirit, and the church. And every decision that we make is a brick that you put into either kingdom. And the more bricks you give to a kingdom, the more power you give that kingdom in your life. And I realized I'd been putting a lot of bricks into this side of my life, and I'd built up a lot of strongholds. And God just revealed that to me, and I realized the spiritual warfare that was happening in my life. And just this week after camp, it's been hard knowing my struggle now and trying to live for God. And it's the God I know is with me, and he's giving me power. And I know that I will get victory over my strongholds, knowing God's power, and just surrendering my thought to him and making that turning point and saying, God, I need to start going back and putting bricks into that kingdom and tearing down the stronghold one decision at a time. So.
Thank you. That is all.
I love to hear that God is speaking to my children as well as to our children, right? And so praise God that he loves our kids so much that getting them away to camp, it's a great thing because it allows them to focus on him without the life distractions that are all around. So it's awesome that God spoke to you, young people. Keep that fire alive, all right? Keep that going. I'd like to invite the deacons to come forward to distribute the Lord's table. And as they're coming forward, let's pray for our youth right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these testimonies that were shared. And Lord, I know that just three shared, but they probably all could could tell us great things that you did for each one of them. I thank you, Lord, they could have a lot of fun because you use fun to help us break down the barriers of self-doubt and self-pity. And then, Lord, you use the ministry of singing and you use the ministry of your word. Thank you that our young people heard from you. And now, God, I pray that you would use our youth leaders. I thank you for Brendan and Shelby, for Ray and Autumn, and their willingness to take their time and take the kids to camp and invest into them. And I pray that you would use these our youth sponsors to keep this fire alive in our young people's hearts and lives. And so, God, put a special blanket of protection around them. Keep the fiery darts of the wicked one from them. Help them, Lord, to continue to invest into your kingdom. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we go to communion this morning, communion is a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. And it's a fellowship with his sacrifice. And so if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and maybe you're wondering what that might mean or what that might entail, then what I'm going to encourage you to do is we take communion. Just pass the elements by. This is something, we don't do this to gain favor with God. This is for those who have already trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is an opportunity for us to fellowship with him and fellowship with each other. And so as we pass the elements around, there are two cups that are stacked. The bottom cup has the bread. The top cup has the juice. And grab both cups. And then after you get your cup, or maybe before if you're sitting in the back, I want to encourage you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, spend some time and reflect on your life. I mean, our teens spent a weekend reflecting on theirs, right? And it was good. Spend some time reflecting on your life and say, Lord, if there's anything that I have in my life that's wrong, ask him to give you victory over it. Confess your sin. He's faithful. He'll forgive you for your sin. And he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then thank him for what he did on the cross. Because communion is a remembrance that he allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be spilled so that we could have forgiveness of sin. And Jesus said that we should remember this until he returns. And so spend some time remembering what our Lord has done in offering his body as a sacrifice for us. Brian, could you ask a blessing on the bread?
I'll pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can take and we can reflect on what you've done for our life, Lord. Father, we thank you for your broken body and you did something that we so didn't deserve, Lord, but you loved us so much that you were willing to have your body broken for our sins, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He said that this bread was a token of his body which was broken for us. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." Caleb, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine? Here's a mic.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for your love, that you died for an unworthy person such as myself, Lord. And forgive me for my sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, Jesus and the disciples, after they had the first Lord's table, they sang. And so we're going to sing some songs about our wonderful Jesus. So you stand with me as we lift up the name of our Lord together.
Thank you.
Let's sing about his beautiful name together.
Now and forever, God.
Father, we just pray for our pastor this morning as he comes to bring the message. Lord, we just pray, Father, just pour your spirit out on him. And Father, we just pray that our hearts are ready for the message that you have for us this morning, Lord. We just ask that you forgive us where we've fallen short of everything you've asked us to do. And we ask all this in Jesus' name.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for our church. We just thank you for all the programs that we do here, and that we're just blessed, so blessed by them. And Lord, we just ask that you guide everyone in this offering time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Take and seal it for thy God.
Thank you, Shelby, and thank you, orchestra. Good job. That's one of my favorite songs right there. I like to go around the house, and I'll sing that one just all the time randomly. And my favorite phrase, of course, I sing a lot of things randomly around the house, but one of my favorite phrases from that is, "Bind my wandering heart to thee." And I hope that this morning we can all bind or join together our wandering hearts to our Lord Jesus. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And as they're heading out, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 2. Yes, Leviticus is actually a book of the Bible. It's near the beginning. It goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And as we look at this morning, we're continuing with our thought on being salty. And as we continue with it, we need to understand some real strong biblical truths about being salty. So as you're turning to Leviticus chapter 2, you're probably already there. There's a man driving down the road and his car broke down near a monastery. And so he knocked on the door of the monastery and he said, "Hey, my car broke down. Do you think I could stay the night?" And the monks graciously accepted him. They feed him dinner. They even fix his car. And as the man tries to fall asleep, he hears a strange sound. The next morning, he asks the monks what the sound was. But they say, "We can't tell you. You are not a monk." The man is disappointed, but thanks them anyway and goes about his merry way. Some years later, the same man breaks down in front of the same monastery. The monks accept him in, feed him. They even fix his car. That night, he hears the same strange noise that he had heard years earlier. The next morning, he asked what it is, but the monks reply, "We can't tell you. You're not a monk." The man says, "All right, all right. I'm dying to know. If the only way I can find out what the sound is to become a monk, how do I become a monk?" So the monks replied, "You must travel the earth and tell us how many blades of grass there are and the exact number of pebbles. When you find these numbers, you will become a monk." The man sets about his task. 45 years later, he returns and knocks on the door of the monastery. He says, "I have traveled the earth and have found what you have asked for. There are 145,236,141,248,232 blades of grass. And 231,281,219,999,129,328 pebbles on the earth." The monks replied, "Congratulations, you are now a monk. We shall now show you the way to the sound." The monks led the man to a wooden door where the head monk said, "The sound is right behind that door." The man reaches for the knob, but the door is locked. He says, "Real funny, give me the keys." The monks give him the key. He opens the door, and behind the wooden door is another door made of stone. The man demands the key to the stone door. The monks give him the key. He opens it only to find a door made of ruby. He demands another key, and the monks provide it. And behind that door is another door made of sapphire. And so it goes with the man, that every door he came to, emerald, silver, topaz, amethyst. Finally, the monks say, "This is the last key to the last door." The man is relieved to no end. He unlocks the door, turns the knob, and behind the door, he is amazed to find the source of the strange sound. "But I can't tell you what it is, because you are not a monk." In Mark chapter 9, you're all mad at me now, right? Mark 9, verse 49. In Mark 9, 49, and keep your finger in Leviticus, because we'll be there in just a second, Leviticus 2:11. But in Mark 9:49, Jesus said this. He said, "For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." This is something that all of the Israelites understood. They knew that when they offered sacrifices to God, their sacrifices had to be salty. Now read with me Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, no meat offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. Okay? And meat there is a meal offering, made like a bread or a cake. For you shall burn no leaven or any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. As for the oblation of the first fruits, you shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. And every oblation of your meat offering, you shall season it with salt. Neither shall you allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your meat offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word this morning in our hearts. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oblations. This passage talks about oblations. Oblations were voluntary sacrifices. The sacrifices that were obligatory or required because the people had sinned, those sacrifices were given strict methods of making the sacrifice. I mean, really strict. They were given everything they were supposed to do. So there's something different about this oblation, okay? The oblation means it's a voluntary sacrifice. They gave it because they wanted to, not because they had to. And every single one of their sacrifices, even the ones that they were giving that were just voluntary, had to be seasoned with salt. Every sacrifice to the Lord needed to be seasoned with salt. On the other hand, no matter what the sacrifice, they were not to use leaven in that sacrifice. Whether they offered a bread or cake offering or a meat offering, they all needed to be without leaven. So if they wanted to offer a fluffy pastry to the Lord or a cake, they couldn't do it with leaven. All right? So leaven, no. Salt, yes. Everybody with me? Leaven, no. Salt, yes. So why yes to salt, but no to leaven? Leaven is a symbol of sin. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But leaven is a symbol of sin. Salt is a symbol of preservation. So the question this morning for you in your life, what do you have more of, leaven or salt? You can have both in your life, can't you? You can be a Christian and have sin, right? Yeah. If you didn't know that, let me teach you something new. Yes. Christians are sinners too. We're just saved by the work of Jesus. So we can have both in our life. We can have leaven and salt. We can have sin and preservation. Because salvation is not something that we earn or keep. Salvation is something that he gifts to us and we receive. But now as we live our lives and we offer sacrifices to God, as we live our life out, we need to expel the leaven, and we need to include the salt. No leaven in your sacrifice to God will be acceptable, and the sacrifice that you give to God must contain salt. So here are some ways that leaven is found in baking. So I brought a couple little props here this morning to help us out. So my first prop here is, anybody ever do biscuits in the can like this? You know, you pop them open. Anybody ever leave it in your refrigerator for too long? No, none of you. You're all responsible and you don't waste any food. I know how all of you are. Yeah, we've done it before. We've left it, like it gets in the back and it rolls in the back and you don't see it. and it sits back there for a long time. And then when you pull it out, all it popped open, right? Why does it pop open? Because there's an incredible amount of pressure in here. What's causing that pressure? It's called leaven. Leaven is creating this pressure that's in here. So let's talk about dough for a minute, all right? Now, dough is made of wheat flour, which contains a pair of proteins called gliadin and glutenin. And when you add water and start to mix it up, it produces a protein called gluten, which is not a friend to Pastor Carl, all right? So if you ever bring a nice treat for Pastor Carl, make sure it has no gluten in it, right? It's not good for him. So when you have gluten in your dough is going to... Whoa! That was ready to go, wasn't it? What a good example. See, God, he knows how to give these examples. What a good example of the pressure that yeast causes to build up in these. See, here's what happens when you put the gluten molecule, as they arrange themselves, in, they do it in chains inside of the dough. And these chains can be long and elastic. So I'm just going to pull one of these biscuits out here. I won't pull them all out. All right. It gets, see how I can stretch this? It's long and elastic, right? How can it be long and elastic? It's long and elastic because of the gluten that's in it, all right? So that's what makes it elastic. You're like, what does that have to do with leaven? Nothing yet. Just be patient. All right, so these gluten molecules form chains that allow it to be stretchy. And as you knead it and stretch it out more and more, okay, what you're doing is you're activating the yeast that's in it. Now, yeast is... It can be in the form of a molecule, okay, a living organism, not a living organism like we usually think about living organism, but it is a living thing, yeast is. And you put yeast in it, and it actually gives a slow reaction. The more heat and the more you work it, the more it works. Okay, this is the slow-acting yeast. This is the regular kind of yeast. He's in the very back. He's all right. Yeah, he's okay. I didn't give him any gluten this morning, so. Although, maybe Emily did. I don't know, so. The more that you knead and stretch this, the more you activate it. Now, when gluten or flour is mixed with yeast, which is this natural living organism, it creates space in the dough. And it allows the dough become fluffy, and when it's heated, it rises. When heated and kneaded, the gas that's produced by the leavening agent, it forms thousands of little bubbles inside the dough, which cause it to inflate. Imagine 1,000 balloons. When you fill them with air, they inflate, right? Well, because the gas from the yeast is inside the dough, it causes these 1,000 little bubbles. Now, the difference between yeast that's working in a dough and yeast that would be in a liquid, when it's in a liquid, what does it do? It bubbles and it escapes and it pops. Okay, so let's talk about a couple of beer. Yeast is used to make beer. So what does the yeast do? The yeast actually eats the sugar. And as it eats the sugar, it causes a chemical reaction. It's CO2, all right? And you get this chemical reaction, and you get bubbles. And in a liquid, they come out and they pop. But in a solid, they create space. And so then when you put the dough into the oven, it's got all this space that's created by the bubbles. But it's like a balloon. It doesn't pop. It just inflates. And you got all these little inflations that take place in the dough. And then as you heat it, it becomes solid with those bubbles in place. Now I have dough all over my hands. Now, there are other kinds of yeast that can be added. So I brought a couple illustrations. Now, this is the yeast that we usually think of, okay? You put yeast in. What happens when you put yeast in, okay, when they're making beer, okay, and they put yeast in? What's the process that has to happen? Fermentation. What is fermentation? Spoiling, okay? And so that's what yeast helps cause. It creates the separation, but also as it creates the separation, it gives room for bacteria and for mold and for all these other things to grow. When you don't have the yeast in it, it doesn't have the room for that, the space for it, and so it spoils much less quickly. So this will spoil more quickly when it has the yeast in it. Now we have these other kinds of leavening agents as well. So if you put yeast in it, you have to knead it and get it to the right temperature, and then you have to let it sit for a while for it to rise, right? Well, these two agents are different. You add these, and they are fast-acting agents, okay? So with baking powder, what it needs is it needs a citric element added to it, an acidic element added to it. When you add the acidic element to it, then it begins to work. Now, if it's left in the dry form, it won't work until it's made wet, and then it activates. And it works very quickly. Forms the bubbles, creates separation, and allows it to rise. You say, okay, I didn't come to church to learn how to bake. Well, we need to understand this reasoning behind why we can't have leaven in our sacrifices. Because here's what the process of leavening immediately caused to happen. It caused it to spoil. The spoiling process takes place as soon as that nice baked bread gets out of the oven, right? It's got all these little gaps in it created by the bubbles. And now it will spoil more quickly. So when we had communion this morning, we had actually unleavened. You're like, that was a cracker. It's actually unleavened bread. It's just really hard, all right? That stuff will last for years. I mean, that's probably been sitting back there for about 25 months. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you were going, oh, I'm getting sick. No, I'm just kidding. But it will last a really long time. Why? Because it doesn't have a yeast in it, so it doesn't spoil. So here's what we are told about sacrifice. Our sacrifices to God cannot have yeast, leaven, because it is a symbol of sin and spoiling. So now let's talk about salt. Salt. Now, salt is a water absorbent. We've kind of talked about this a little bit. And when you put salt on it, it actually will absorb or help remove water from the substance. In the absence of water, bacteria don't multiply as quickly, and so salt acts as a preservative by slowing or eliminating the growth of harmful bacteria, whereas leaven speeds up the process of the harmful bacteria. Basically, salt works by drying out food. It absorbs the water from the foods, and it makes the environment too dry to support harmful mold or bacteria. Salt kills microbes. So let's say we're going to make some cheese. All right, let's go from baking to cheese making. Any cheese makers here? Anybody cheese connoisseurs? All right, a few of you. Good, good. I have no idea what I'm talking about. No, I'm just... In cheeses, texture is actually altered by the removal of excess water and by the overall sodium content in the cheese. So salt helps you determine the texture of the cheese. So cheese with lower salt content are typically soft, pasty, and adhesive, while those with higher content are harder, drier, and crumblier. For example, ricotta cheese, Swiss cheese, they have a lower sodium content than the firmer cheeses, such as cheddar and gouda, which in turn have a lower sodium content than hard cheeses like Parmesan. Salt also impacts the physical characteristics, such as its meltability. Have you ever tried to melt Parmesan cheese? Doesn't melt very well, does it? Why? Because it's got a lot of salt in it. It's harder. Shredding. Some cheeses are easier to shred than others. Some don't shred. They just crumble, right? It all has to do with the amount of salt involved. The more salt, the less shreddable it is. And then the flow. Some cheeses, like Velveeta. That's not real cheese anyway. That's all fake. So, now, salting also plays an important part in kosher foods. Did you know that? Kosher foods, if it's a meat, and it's even if it's an approved meat on the kosher list, it has to be salted in order to, and it has to be salted a specific way in order to be deemed kosher. So what they do is they pack the meat in salt. Actually, before they do that, they wash the meat, rinse the meat. Because the whole idea of being kosher is to get as much blood as possible out of the meat. So they rinse it, they wash it off, then they pack it in salt. And when they pack it in salt, it draws the blood out from inside the meat. And then when it's drawn enough of the blood out, they'll rinse it again, and now it is kosher. There are steps to do it. It has to be rinsed, and then before 24 hours are expired, it has to be packed in salt. And then it can only be packed in salt for less than another 48 hours. And then you can rinse it, and then it will be kosher. So salt plays an important part in that because it pulls the moisture away, removing the opportunity for harmful growth of microbes so that it can be a preservative. All right, so why all the cooking? Because when they offered sacrifices, essentially what the people were doing is they were cooking. Especially the voluntary sacrifices. They would basically cook something and offer it to God. As they cooked it and offered it to God, God had rules. And they were simple. No leaven. So you couldn't bake your best cake that rose. Had to be flat. Couldn't have any leaven in it. Because it wasn't just about the food that you were offering. It was about the picture you were showing in offering the food. No leaven. Had to have salt. Because he wanted them, when they created these sacrifices, even if the recipe didn't call for salt, to put salt in it. Because he wanted them to show that they understood that the preserving nature of the sacrifice in their life. Your saltiness is required to offer a sacrifice to God. It's not just the salt in the sacrifice, it is the salt that you live with every day that allows your sacrifice to be what God wants it to be. See, as we've been preaching through these messages, maybe you're struggling with a salty attitude. Like Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes, or what we call them, the salty attitudes. Maybe you're struggling with the idea that life is to be lived from the inside out. Because you can fake it in front of everyone, but God is looking at what's taking place inside, and he cares more for what's going on in the heart than he is what everybody else sees. Or maybe it's just being perfect, like your Father in heaven is perfect in your treatment of others, where you love your enemy, you bless them that curse you, you do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you, you pray for them. So let's engage with some repentance right now. Turning our life attitudes and actions into salty behavior. Let's also engage with the hope that we have in offering sacrifices to God. So I got four passages that I just want us to turn to real quickly. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Real quickly, look here with me. In Romans 12, 1, it says this. I beseech you, I beg of you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable act of worship. So here's what we're told. We are told that our bodies are living sacrifices. So you know what that means? We shouldn't have any yeast or leaven in them. We shouldn't have sin that presides in us. Instead, we should be salty. So in your bulletin, I have a point number one there. We can offer sacrifices that are acceptable to God. That's awesome. This morning, you can offer acceptable sacrifices to God. Because he wouldn't say that we could if we couldn't. I beg of you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your act of worship. In 1 Peter 2:5, Peter says this, "You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." You can offer up sacrifices that are acceptable. Because here's what Jesus told us. He said in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness." We keep that saltiness by Jesus Christ. We can offer up sacrifices that are pleasing to God. In Hebrews 13, in verse 15, it says this, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." See, the second thing that we know about sacrifices, we can offer them, first of all, that are acceptable. But also, we should do it continually. Not just on Sundays. Continually offer up these sacrifices to God. And then in verse 16 in Hebrews 13, it says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." So the third thing is, our sacrifices are composed of two key items. Two key items are in our sacrifices. Now, how do we offer the sacrifice? Seasoned with salt, absent of leaven. Seasoned with the preservation of God, absent of sin. So here are the two sacrifices. First, praise and thanks from our lips. Whether you knew it or not, this morning we engaged in offering a sacrifice to God through our lips and bringing praise to him this morning. Now, how did you package that? Was it wrapped in salt? Was it packed in your saltiness that you're living for God? Or was it full of leaven? Full of sin? The second sacrifice that we offer is to do good. Do good. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin." So you know what we're supposed to do? Do good. Every time you do good, you are offering a sacrifice to God. How cool is that? Every time you're nice to someone who just needs that nice word. Every time that you look beyond yourself to the needs of others. Every time you just obey what God wants you to do. You are offering a sacrifice. Now, how are you packaging that sacrifice? Is it full of salt or is it full of leaven? When we season our lives correctly, we are doing good. Our good actions combined with the praises from our lips are sacrifices that please God. And so the question to you this morning, is your life filled with leaven or is your life filled with salt? Let's pray here together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this illustration that you gave to us so we could understand that as we do good, and as we offer sacrifices of praise with our lips, that, Lord, it needs to be seasoned correctly. So, God, forgive us for the leaven, the sin that we have in our lives. And help us, Lord, to season everything we do with the preservation, being salty for you. And Lord, if anyone here does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that right now as we sing this closing song, that they would have the courage to come forward and just tell me that they've never trusted Jesus and they want to. And Lord, this morning you can save them. And I pray for any Christian, Lord, who they have not been cautious with their sacrifices to you. They have a lot of sin in their life that they haven't dealt with. And it's possible to live with both, but it's not possible to offer an acceptable sacrifice with both leaven and salt. So God, I just pray that you would help those who need to do business with you this morning, to take time to speak to you. And Lord, as we open up the altar this morning, if any need to just kneel before you and confess, Lord, as they confess and forsake, you tell us that you will give them mercy. So have your way in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this closing song of Jesus Paid It All to Him I Owe.
Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Lord, we thank you for making us clean. That you take us who believe and you say, I bear your sin. And we don't need to take care of it anymore. God, we can offer sacrifices that are acceptable to you. And we can do it continually. We do it through the praises that we sing to you and by our good works. So Lord, as we live this week, take every sacrifice we offer. Let it be for your glory. Let it be for your praise. So now unto him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be honor and glory and power and dominion both now and forever, we pray. And all God's children said, amen. The Lord bless you. Live for him. Amen.